This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. Our hour this week begins with Bogey and Bacall in Bold Venture, the first episode, titled Deadly Merchandise. Then it's Believe It or Not with an episode titled Trick on Nappy. We'll finish off with The Chase, an episode from June 14th, 1953, titled The Playboy. But first, here's Bold Venture.
Bold Venture. Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance, starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. Together in the sultry setting of tropical Havana and the mysterious islands of the Caribbean, Bold Venture.
All right, sailor. Havana, Cuba, where we started from, where we get off. Out.
How long can you keep it up, Slade?
Come on, off the boat.
I said, how long can you keep it up? You've been sore ever since we left Key West. So we didn't meet him, so we didn't pick up his cargo.
Look, sailor, a guy named Scarn sends us a wire. He says, meet him in Key West. Move his cargo. I didn't want to go, you wanted to go.
All right, and Mr. Scarn and whatever he wanted us to bring to Havana weren't there. But we had a boat ride to Key West and back. You and me. That's nothing, huh?
Come on, sailor, let's get off the boat. Here, I'll help you.
I don't need any help. What are you angry about? The money we didn't make?
No, it was time away from Havana. But I didn't have to be away from her.
You talk about Havana like it was a woman.
Do I?
How do you talk about me behind my back?
Walk ahead of me and I'll think of something.
There's your Havana, a cockfight.
Come on, let's take a look, sailor. How's your bloodlust today?
Oh, let's get out of here.
Consider it, sailor. Two birds with steel spurs slashing each other to pieces. Let's pause and cheer.
Come on.
Oh, let's watch for a while. People get to enjoy this sort of thing. Let's find out why.
I don't want to find out why. I'll see you back at Shannon's place.
All right. Okay, let's go.
You get a bang out of watching that?
No, it gives me a chance to get bitter. Makes me an honest man.
Por favor, senor, senorita.
Huh?
The cockfight disgusts you, huh? See, your tastes are too delicate, or perhaps...
What's this, Slate? A new way to catch the Yankee dollar?
Or perhaps the Yankee merchandise.
The lady asks you what this is, amigo. Who are you?
Permit me to tell you the story of my life. I am a poet.
I guess that's worth a dollar. Give him a dollar, Slate.
What are we, patrons of the arts?
Permit me to refuse the money. Permit me to return to the matter of the Yankee merchandise you have brought from Key West.
This is a man with a problem, Slade.
You are the people from the boat, the Bold Venture.
We're the people from the boat, the Bold Venture.
Now it rhymes. Nice going, sailor.
Then it is a simple matter. Since you are the people from the boat, it is simple. We will make arrangements for the removal of the merchandise.
Now look, Shelley, my...
Mario. My name, permit me. That is my name.
Mario, sure. I forgot. My memory's a little shaky.
Mine, too.
Hers, too. So we're having a tough time remembering what this is all about. Slower reading, huh?
Are you trying to be clever, mi amigo? Or perhaps you have pleasure in tweaking my patience? The merchandise, permit me, but the merchandise. It is a matter of life and death. When shall we remove it from your boat?
The poet only knows one poem, Slate.
Yeah. Wave him goodbye.
A fond farewell, Mario.
But it is a matter... You cannot. The merchandise, it can mean life, it can mean death. You cannot refuse about the merchandise! The merchandise!
Mm-hmm. If you want to be happy and lead a king's life, never make a pretty woman your wife. Therefore, from a logical point of view, marry a woman uglier than you. A pretty woman makes a husband look small, and then he very often falls his downfall. Therefore, from a logical point of view, marry a woman uglier than you. Ah, Lady Sailor, Mr. Slade, why you come back so soon to King Moses? Because you love me?
Why else, King Moses?
I tell why else. Because on trip to Key West, something sour must have turned more sour. Am I inevitably correct?
You are inevitably correct, King Moses.
You come back to make King Moses sloppy with happiness, Mr. Slate. Therefore, order me about.
Bring us something to eat, King.
Oh, an ecstasy, a joy, a frenzy, a kick.
Just bring us something to eat.
Right now, Mr. Slate.
You really do love him, don't you, Slate?
Uh-huh. Like he was my own.
How long does it take for someone to be your own?
Ah, that depends. Ready with the food, King?
Ready. Yours, Mr. Slade. Yours, Lady Sailor. You talk, I smile inside myself. I get my guitar, I got song for you.
Sing it, King.
A lady approach who waits for Slade. A lady so handsome no one can hate. A lady who in hotel did register. A lady who bring joy, maybe despair.
Pardon me, Señor Shannon, but I think perhaps you were looking for me. For Bibi. No, Señor?
Well, I don't know you, but I think perhaps I was looking for you. For Bibi.
Slade.
I want to explain something to you about the hotel business, Sailor. I am what is known as a mine host. That comes in two parts. Mine and host. Sit down, Bibi.
Gracias. Still you have not answered my question, Señor Shannon. You look for me?
Well, I look for a lot of things. Why particularly for you?
Because you are the man who brought his boat into port only a little while ago.
Oh, the lady wants a boat ride. Why don't you try the nearest tunnel of love, Miss Bibi?
This is included in the price we must pay for the merchandise?
No, Bibi. I throw that in for free.
Now, wait a minute. You said merchandise, Bibi. Isn't that what you said?
Yes.
Bibi, the gentleman posed a question. Will you answer the gentleman's question?
You know very well what it is we want.
Sure, sure, but let's hear it from your own red lips.
Now I understand. It is a matter of more money, huh? Well, we expected it, and we despise you for it. But we will pay it. I have room 6A. I will wait for you there. But give me 10 minutes to arrange for more money. When I pay your price, there will be no more delay. Is it final? It is final.
Let's see, 6A, she said.
And that's what she said, Slate. That's just what she said.
You know, Sailor, I think I can handle this alone. Why don't you wait for me downstairs, huh?
Because I'm afraid of the dark. I cry in it.
That's what I thought.
Now you know. Slate, that noise. It's already happened to us once today.
Well, maybe the little lady's a bookie for game cock fights. Hey, let's go.
Slate, look, look. Her face, her body.
Yeah, slashed to ribbons. Slashed to death by a gamecock.
Slate, oh, Slate.
Now, how do you like Havana, Sailor?
Mrs. Slate. Mr. Slate.
Mr. Slate is wearing out his office floor, King Moses. Tell me, I'll tell him.
The police have made a farewell to the front door, Lady Sailor. They are 5 minutes gone.
Thanks, I'll tell Mr. Slate.
You want anything I can do for the after the police occasion, Lady Sailor? You, Mr. Slate?
No, I'll call if we want anything.
My guitar and me in hammock outside. You open the window and whistle for King Moses if you want something.
Slate? Slate? What are you trying to build? All right. I don't blame you, Slate. I know. It's hard to believe.
What's hard to believe? Beautiful woman killed by a fighting bird. A bird with steel spurs on it.
Oh, Slate.
And at my hotel. Girl locked in a room in my hotel with a bird bred to slash for blood. I don't like cops in my place. Cops are for the tourist trade, not...
Is that all that bothers you? The fact that the police were here?
What's it to you what bothers me? I didn't ask for your questions. I didn't ask for you.
All right, Slate, all right.
Kind of a jerk am I, anyhow? A man tells me to take care of his daughter. So I take care of his daughter. You. What am I? Out of my mind? I don't need you hanging around here, sailor. I don't need anything about you. I got along great before...
Before my father died? What do you want me to do, Slate? Leave?
Well...
Sit down, Slate. You're sweating.
Trick I know. It's hot, so I sweat.
You want me to fan you? I'll fan you. You like me to fan you, Slate? Like this?
Look at you. The way you're dressed. Jeans, the way your hair is. Man has to walk toward you to know you're a woman. Why don't you do something about your hair, sailor?
What's the matter with it?
Other women with hair like that, they'd...
With hair like what? Like this? You can touch it, Slate. Touch it. Go ahead. Touch it.
Answer the door.
You answer it.
Yeah.
Let him meet me.
Hey, it's the poet.
Tell him to come in. He can wave the fan.
An explanation for the events of this afternoon are in order. See?
Hey, well, don't make it tough this time, Mario. What are you trying to tell us?
A tragedy. The killing of the girl Bibi was a tragedy.
Well, what do you know about Bibi?
Bibi was the sister of my wife. She... Please, what time is it?
Hey, look, if you don't...
It's almost 2:30, Mario.
Gracias. Now, permit me. It is very wrong that Bibi is dead. A wrong that is part of an even greater wrong.
So help me
what if... What kind of wrong?
Like so. The merchandise you have brought. Those of us on an island you know, here in the Caribbean... Those of us who wait for the guns.
Guns? So that's it. That's the merchandise. Guns.
Precisely. Perhaps there is a better way to purchase human dignity. But we do not know of it. We need those guns.
And you think we have the guns for your revolution?
Of course. Like so. You came with the boat. Oh, permit me. I will answer it. A compatriot I am expecting. He is to meet me here.
Help him. He's shot.
Yeah. Yeah, shot dead. Like so.
A lady, she come to Shannon's place. A delicate figure and clothes of lace. Then the lady, she died in Shannon's place. A gamecock with spurs, he slashed her face. A poet, he came to Mr. Slate. Make big apology for being late. He explains his wants to Mr. Slate. But bullet in heart bring him poor to stay. Mr. Slate, he turned to Lady Sailor. He says, you know...
That's enough, King.
Do I call the police again, Mr. Slate?
No. Two people die in my place, that makes it personal. I like that poet.
You're not always a real tough man, are you, Slate?
I said I like that poet.
And that girl, Bibi?
And that girl, Bibi. What about her?
Did you like her, too?
She had a problem. She came to me for help. She died.
My father said you'd be a man like that.
Why don't you get out of here, sailor? Why don't you go back to the States? Look at the mess. I'm in it, you're in it. Why don't you leave, sailor?
You don't know, do you?
Mr. Slate.
Yeah, what do you want, King?
Here are the dead gentleman's papers from his pocket.
Oh, let's have a look. Mario Pavana, 64 Avenado Lorca.
We're going calling, huh, Slate?
When a man like Mario dies, somebody's got to tell somebody because somebody might want to know.
I would. I'd want to know.
Well, let's go to Avenida Lorca, sailor.
Yes? What is it you want, senor, senorita?
We come to...
Is it about Bibi? My sister Bibi? If you have come to tell me of her death, it has already been revealed to me.
Well, just a minute, senora.
I am called Celestine. Will it not be easier for you so?
Yeah, easier. If you're Bibi's sister, then the poet Mario... Mario...
He's my husband. Yes, a poet and a husband. I'm fortunate, am I not? You are friends of Mario's?
Yes, friends. Sailor, I can't do it. You tell her.
Thanks loads. Senora Celestine, your husband...
What?
He...
What is it of my husband? What is it?
He's dead. Okay, sailor. How long can you take to tell a woman her husband's dead?
He said he was going to the waterfront to write me a verse. A little verse. Who are you? Are you of the police?
We're Mario's friends. We want to find his murderer.
It will not bring him back.
Mario was telling us something before he died. About a revolution. About guns.
Mario was to me a man who loved me. Who wrote little verses for me. Of this other Mario that you speak, I know nothing.
Who would?
Señor Etienne Parada, maybe? Señor Etienne spoke often with Mario, late into the night, while I slept. I would bring them food, and then leave them to talk among men.
Where would we find Señor Etienne?
He has a villa, 17 Avenida Cuarteles. I think there is nothing more for us to say to each other. Adios, friends of Mario.
Come right in, senor, senorita.
Is your name Etienne?
No, senor. I am the butler.
Where's Etienne?
In the auditorium with the rest of the guests. There is a concert. This way. In here. I will leave you. Adios.
Hey, some concert.
That girl, the way she's dancing, Slade. She's wonderful.
Yeah, real authentic.
Am I being rude?
Yes, you are. Can't you see that girl's trying to express herself?
I am your host. My name is Etienne. This way, please.
Yeah, sure.
Celestine called. She told me to expect you.
Did she tell you about her husband?
About Mario? Yes. Did you two kill him?
How's your record, Etienne?
Not flawless, senor. In here, por favor, this room. Pepe!
Hey, what is this? Who is this guy?
These are the ones, Pepe. The man and woman we have been waiting for. Now, senor, you will tell us. Why have you come to Etienne?
Because I don't like my hotel to be loused up with dead bodies. First a girl was killed and a poet. Would you know why?
Yes, I would know why.
Who are you, Etienne? Why should you know so much?
It does not embarrass me to say that I am a patriot. You see, Bibi and Mario were revolutionary. They were killed by our enemies.
This we know.
They were killed to prevent them from taking guns across the Caribbean to our islands. The guns, they thought, were on your boat. We shall proceed without Bibi and Mario.
The man is talking like he's got the guns anyhow, Slate.
See, we have them. They came on another boat, not yours.
Well, use them in good health. Let's go, sailor.
Wait, senor.
I knew it. Peek over your shoulder, Slate.
I just did. Question, what's the caliber of the gun Pepe has in his hand? A .32 or a .38?
looks like a 32.
It's a 38. You will help us then.
Help you do what?
We have the guns, you have a boat. It's necessary to have both to get the guns to my island. Besides, I prefer not to have you roaming the streets of Havana until we have disposed of the weapons.
Who wants to roam the streets?
Me, Daddy.
Por favor, senor, move quickly. There is a great need to hurry. You admire the view, senor, eh? This cliff that screams down into the sea, or perhaps senor is afraid of such height. But the view is magnificent, no?
The guns are nice, too.
You have exquisite taste, senor. In guns, in boats, and
In me?
Precisely, senorita.
See how wrong you can be, slave? The man said that you had...
Get off it, Andy Etienne. What do we play now?
Oh, no play, senor, I assure you. Hard work. Pepe is below in your boat waiting for the guns. You will see that he gets them. Then you will take us to our destination on your exquisite boat.
You mean I lugged them all the way from this cliff down to the boat?
Not quite so hard, senor. You see, we are prepared. A cargo net, winch. You place the guns in the net, then lower them to Pepe. Quick, simple.
Like pie. It'll be like pie, won't it, Slate? I'll help.
No, senorita, no. You will simply stand there because you will inspire the senor to magnificent effort. You may begin, senor.
So what happens when we're through here?
You will be killed.
Ask a silly question.
No, but it's so easy for you. You have but to die. Me, I have to commit a murder.
My heart bleeds for you.
Thank you, senorita. That's enough, senor, for one load. Lower the winch.
Aquí, Juan. Aquí.
Sí, Celeste. Celestine.
We're glad you're happy, Celestine.
Yeah, we're glad. Thanks for saving our lives. It was messy, but thanks.
My heart is filled with kindness for you both.
We'll drink to your heart filled with kindness in Havana. Tell your boy to take that gun away and we'll go.
You were so kind to come and tell me of my husband's death. I want to do something gracious for you.
In Shannon's place. Do something gracious for us in Shannon's place.
I will not permit Juan to kill you. You will die as suicides.
I wouldn't have it any other way. Tell us about killing people, Celestine. Were you born that way or did it come on you all of a sudden?
They tried to make a revolution. You were foolish enough to stumble into it. It is a pity you stumbled into the wrong side.
You and Juan here are the right ones.
You are all alike. Poets, revolutionaries, adventurers. All with the intellect of trained fleas. Bibi, Mario, Etienne, Pepe. Oh, yes. Pepe is dead also. Juan took care of it.
Bibi was your sister. And married.
They were fools. They are happier dead. Now walk to the edge of the cliff. Walk.
You're happy now, sailor? You're real happy?
What?
You came to Havana. You got what you came for, huh? Excitement, romance, a tropic moon, people killed.
You've gone crazy. What are you talking about?
What you wanted, isn't it, sailor? That's why you came to me, because it was empty for a girl like you back there from wherever you came from. Real empty.
Why you...
Don't slap me, sailor. I'll break you in two.
No one. No. Do not put your hands on him. Leave them alone. Just keep the gun in his back. They will kill each other.
Sailor, watch it.
You watch it. He's got a gun in your back.
Have a gun in my back.
One. Careful, one. Careful.
The gun.
Get it, sailor. Pick it up. Now you, Celestine.
You let me go. Let me go.
Don't struggle, Celestine. Relax. Enjoy yourself. I'm a tender guy. I'm taking you back to Havana.
Fool! Take your hands off me. Let me go.
Celestine, I'm holding you real tight till the Havana police take you away from me.
You hold her that tight, she's not going to be in any condition for the police. So what about Juan?
You got a gun in your hand, haven't you, sailor?
Oh, sure. Sorry. I forgot for a moment.
Oh, get with it, sailor. Keep that gun pointed to Juan till we get back to Havana.
Then what?
Then Shannon's place. Better back there. I'll want you with me.
How do you like it, Slate?
Like what?
Dancing with me.
Oh, it's all right.
I'm wearing a dress now.
Yeah, I noticed.
And my hair. You like it this way? You like my hair this way, Slate?
Let's get out of here.
I like it here.
Come on, let's go.
Go ahead. I'll find somebody who likes to dance.
I said come on.
Why?
Well, there's a breeze outside.
What's a breeze got to do with it?
I want to see what it does to your hair.
And so our two stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, have brought to a close our latest Bold Venture story. Special music was composed and conducted by David Rose.
Truth is stranger than fiction. And this is the proof. This is Ripley's. Believe it or not.
Henry Temple was appointed chief clerk of the Treasury of Ireland, a $10,000 a year job, when he was 7 years old. Believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you about a trick pulled on Napoleon. The life of a double agent, particularly today, has been made as glamorous as it is daring. But imagine playing double agent in Napoleon's time. The Count de Blacas did. His assignment was to spy on the exiled King Louis XVIII. But instead of spying, he shared his spy's salary of $40,000 a year with the king. Later, he was made a duke by the king as a reward for his honesty. Believe it or not.
The National Broadcasting Company invites you by transcription to join The Chase. There is always the hunter and the hunted, the pursuer and the pursued. It may be the voice of authority or a race with death and destruction, the most relentless of the hunters. There are times when laughter is heard as counterpoint and moments when sheer terror is the theme. But always there is the chase. And no chase is as frenzied as that of the Playboy.
That night after it happened, well, I knew the police would want to question me. But I couldn't face them, Tom, not just then.
Of course you couldn't.
They'll want to know everything, won't they?
I think it's best if they do, Laura.
Yes, I suppose it is. You'll have to know sometime.
Excuse me. Yes? The district attorney? All right, put him on. Hello, Mr. Collier. I've been talking with my client, Laura Bromley. Yes, she's willing to make a statement. You're not preferring any charges against her, are you? Oh, good. Well, we'll be over to your office at, say about 3:00. All right? Good. Goodbye. Laura.
Yes?
Before we draw up a formal statement, I'd like you to tell me, as your attorney, exactly what happened. The whole story from the beginning.
All right, Tom, if I can. There was so much, sometimes I get confused. The whole thing seems to have been going on and on as long as I can remember.
Yes, I know.
You see, Jerry never got over being a playboy.
That's what I heard.
It wasn't his fault, really. His family just had too much money. They were too good to him. And then, when he lost every dime, his father left him.
That was shortly after you were married, wasn't it, Flora?
Just about a year.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even tell me how badly off we were.
Well, what did you live on?
Cards, horse races. He was pretty lucky at first.
You still thought he had an income?
Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. I guess I was afraid to know the truth.
You were crazy about him, weren't you, Laura?
Yes, always. He never intended to do anything crooked, Tom. I know he didn't. But he had to have money and excitement. He just didn't know how to live any other way. Money, excitement, cards, horses, that's what he wanted out of life. And I went along because all I ever wanted was to be his wife. I don't know how we managed going from one smart hotel to the next, following the social trek to Florida, borrowing money, sponging now and then on our rich friends. But somehow we kept one jump ahead of our creditors. Until we met Nick Gordon. After that, it was different.
Come in.
Can I get the breakfast dishes now, Mr. Brumley?
Oh, sure, Gus. Take them away. We're through. Any more coffee, Laura?
No, thank you, dear.
Sign the check, Mr. Brumley?
Sign it, Laura.
Mm-hmm.
And here you are, Gus. A little something for you.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Brumley. Thank you very much.
Yeah, sure. See you tomorrow.
Sure thing, Mr. Brumley. I'll be here. Don't worry.
Jerry?
Yeah?
Darling, you don't have to tip him that much every morning.
What's the difference? It's only money.
Well, Jerry, really, if we keep up at this rate...
We'll be broke, eh?
We will, darling. Believe me.
Oh, I believe you. Believe me, I believe you.
Well, then.
Darling.
Hmm?
That's what I wanted to talk to you about. We are broke.
Oh, Jerry, again?
Well, I've been meaning to tell you, but we've been having so much fun down here.
How bad is it this time?
Well, this time, dear, it's very bad.
Well, I could get rid of my pearl earrings.
I'm afraid they'd only be a drop in the bucket, baby. I owe Nick Gordon $8,000.
You owe what?
$8,000.
Jerry, how could you?
That's what I've been asking myself. How could I? A man I met only 5 months ago, a shady character if I ever saw one. Small-time crook with heaven only knows what kind of a police record, and I have to be in debt to him to the tune of $8,000.
We can never pay him back, Jerry.
Darling, I have no intention of paying him. Besides, he doesn't want the money.
What?
He doesn't want the money. He's willing to cancel the debt for our social connections. Sordid, isn't it?
What does he want?
Well, I told you. Our social connections.
Jerry.
Well, specifically, he wants us to arrange a card party for charity to which we will invite the wealth and splendor of all Miami.
And?
And at that party, Nick will introduce certain of his friends who are adept at cards. Nick says that we'll not only clean up my debt, but there'll be $1,000 or so left over as a bonus.
You told him no, of course.
I told him yes, of course.
Jerry, you couldn't.
Oh, baby, let's be sensible. He's got me over a barrel.
But I don't...
What's the difference if a few of our dough-heavy friends lose a couple of dollars? They can afford it.
I won't let you do it, Jerry. A crooked card game.
Well, darling, believe me, the idea is just as repulsive to me as it is to you. But, baby, we've got to eat.
Well, we're not going to eat on stolen money, Jerry.
Now, Laura, don't get excited, please.
I mean that.
I know you do.
We're not going to do it, Jerry.
Yes, we are, baby. I talked it all over with Nick. Oh, I'm sorry, darling. Hello, room 1412, please.
What are you doing?
I'm calling the Potters. They'll always come to a charity party, and they've got money coming out of their ears.
Jerry.
I wish there were some other way, darling. I really do, but there isn't.
And there was nothing I could do to stop him. Within a week, he'd made arrangements to hold the party in one of the large suites in the hotel. And he'd made up an invitation list of 50 of the wealthiest people in the colony. He kept in constant touch with Nick Gordon, going over the scheme, making sure that everything would go as they'd planned it.
And I figure we ought to have a dice game, Nick, and maybe chuck-a-luck, huh?
Sure, Jerry, good idea. Shorty, you find a chuck-a-luck cage someplace, huh?
Okay, Nick.
And take care of the roulette wheel, too. Right, Shorty?
Right.
It's gonna be a good party, Jerry, one of the best. Oh, I got those invitations engraved, just like you said. Here, take a look.
Oh. Uh-huh, very nice.
Fancy, huh? And all in the name of sweet charity.
Nick.
Yeah?
What about this charity? Supposing they happen to find out we're using their name.
Find out? They already know.
Huh?
I've already been to see them. Promised them 25% of the take.
Well, I thought that...
Best way to do it, Jerry. Right out in the open. So we send them a check for a couple of grand. We can afford it, can't we?
Sure, but I...
Listen, kid, with that lineup of paying customers you're bringing in, this thing will net a fortune.
Okay, Nick. Okay. And the charity gets a... cut after all, huh?
Sure. Everybody's going to be happy with this deal. You just leave it to me.
All right, I will. Well, I better get back to my hotel. Laura's waiting for me to take her to dinner.
Give her my best, Jerry.
Sure. Oh, and, Nick.
Yeah?
If you could spare a couple of bucks.
Huh? Oh, sure, kid. 200?
Yeah. Till payday.
Okay, till payday. Yeah.
Oh, thanks. Well, night, Nick. Night, Shorty.
So long, Jerry. So long. Be seeing you, Jerry. Payday.
Yeah, I'll see you then. So long.
Nick.
Yeah?
How much does that schnook know?
Just what I tell him.
He thinks it's just a crooked card game, huh?
That's all.
He don't know the other arrangements?
Nah, he figures we're milking his friends for a few dishonest bucks, and that's the end of it.
He's going to be plenty surprised when he finds out what happened.
Uh-huh. I suppose he is. Shorty.
Yeah?
Send a wire to Dixie Davis. Tell him everything's set for Saturday night.
And the party was arranged for Saturday night. Nothing I could say would make Jerry call it off. I tried, I really did. But Jerry needed money and he was determined to get it. Well, there was money at the party, all right, big money. The women were wearing it in jewels and the men were throwing it away at the tables. Everybody was having a wonderful time and Jerry was in the center of it all, watching the $100 bills change hands like quarters.
All right, folks, get your bets down. All bets down. We spin the little wheel for charity. Win a little, lose a little. All bets down. Get your bets down. Now
watch the wheel. Jerry.
Oh, hello, Nick. Well, how do you like it?
I like it fine, Jerry. That green stuff's really rolling in.
How does our cut look?
Better than you think.
Yeah?
Uh-huh. Jerry.
Yeah?
Come out on the terrace a minute. I want to talk to you.
Oh, sure.
Hiya, Jerry.
Oh, hello, Steve.
Greatest little party you got here.
Sir, are you enjoying yourself?
Sure, it's terrific. Lost 800 bucks in half an hour. Well. I love it.
You hear that? Steve Potter just dropped 800 bucks. We're going to clean up, Nick.
Yeah, I know. Cigarette?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Thanks.
Going to clean up big, Jerry. What time you got?
Quarter after one.
Uh-huh. Light?
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Quarter after one.
Yeah. Party's just beginning to roll. Figure in another couple of hours, we'll be sitting pretty.
Won't take that long, kid. Another 15 minutes. 1:30 on the nose, we'll be sitting pretty.
Huh?
At 1:30, there's going to be a stick-up, Jerry.
What?
A stick-up. Four guys are coming up on the service elevator and going in the door next to the coat room. These guys will line all the customers up against the wall, take the cash from the men, the jewelry from the dolls. Oh,
come off it, Nick. What's the gag?
No gag. You and me will line up with the rest of the men so as we'll look legitimate. I told one of the boys to rough me up and make it look good.
Nick, let's not fool around.
You know I don't fool around, kid. I figure there's $75,000 in jewelry alone on these dolls.
Nick, if I thought you meant this, I'd go right into that party and tell...
Tell what? There's gonna be a holdup? How did you know about it? Because you're in on it.
Nick.
Uh-uh, kid. You aren't gonna tell him a thing. You're gonna act like a good boy and play along.
You think so?
Sure. I got you all figured out in one word. Money.
You figured wrong, Nick.
Did I? Okay, go ahead in there and tell them. Go ahead, kid. Well, are you going in?
You louse. You're no good. Two-timing louse.
That's right. I'm a crummy character. But I had it figured, didn't I?
And then about 1:30, when the party was at its height, it happened.
All right, everybody. Hands in the air. Line up against the wall. This is a sticker.
Okay, open it, Shorty. Hello, kid. We didn't expect you over here till morning. Shorty, rustle up a drink for Jerry.
Never mind the drink. Nick, I've got to talk to you.
Well, sure, sure. Pull up a chair. We were just counting out Dixie's share of receipts. There's your cut right there.
I don't want any cut.
Huh?
I don't want any part of the holdup, or you either, Nick. I'm through.
Now, look, kid, let's not get excited.
I'm not excited.
Sure you are. Sit down and cool off.
I'm not excited, Nick. I thought this all out. I made one mistake getting tied up with you. Okay, that's over. But I'm not making any more mistakes. Laura and I are leaving town tonight. I'm through.
You're leaving?
Yes. Tonight.
That wouldn't be a very smart move, kid. I'd advise against it.
I don't want your advice. I've had enough of that.
Nick.
Just a minute, Shorty. I'll take care of this.
You're not going to take care of anything, Nick. You and I are quits.
Kid, you're wrong. Dead wrong.
Yeah?
Yeah. I got plenty more work for you, Jerry, as soon as the heat dies down on tonight's job. No one knows you or me or Shorty were in on the heist tonight. They'd just think it was an ordinary stick-up. We need somebody with social connections. And you fill the bill just right.
I told you, you and I...
I know what you told me. Now I tell you. You're not leaving town.
No.
No. Shorty here's going to be watching every move you make. You're not leaving town. You're not getting any idea about going to the cops. You're staying right here. You're in business with me, whether you like it or not. Okay, pick up your cut and count it. There's 3,000 cash. And I took half of what you owe me off the books. Pick it up, Jerry.
I said I wouldn't take my cut, Nick.
Look, kid.
I meant that.
Shorty.
You heard what he said. Pick it up!
Grab him, Shorty.
Let go of me, you lousy... Let go, you're breaking my arm.
Hold him, Shorty. Okay, Shorty, once more.
Pick up your cut. Pick it up!
All right. All right.
It's more like it. Let him go, Shorty. Good night, buddy.
Laura?
Yes?
Why didn't Jerry go to the police and tell them the truth? Why didn't he tell them where Nick was?
He didn't know. Nick kept on the move.
But if Jerry had only...
I know. It all looks very clear now. But it wasn't then. Jerry was being watched by that mob. Every minute, they'd just as soon have killed him. Tom, try to understand our position.
All right, Laura,
Jerry was wrong, I know that. But please, try to understand. All he could think of was some way to get free of Nick, some way to get out of the trap that was closing in on us. For weeks, we lived in fear, Tom, not seeing any way out. Staying in our hotel room, afraid of every move we made, waiting helplessly for something to happen. Then one night, 3 months after the robbery, Jerry went out to take a walk to the beach.
Hey, Mac.
Yes?
Could you tell us how to get to Beach Avenue?
Oh, sure. You drive down to the next corner, then turn left and go... straight.
Hello, kid. Hop in. We want to talk to you.
Nick.
That's right.
Get in, kid.
Okay, Shorty, drive along the beach a couple of miles. Me and Jerry are going to talk business.
Yeah, I'm back, Laura.
Oh, thank goodness, darling. I was so worried, I thought I'd better go out. Jerry, what's the matter?
I met Nick when I was out on my walk, Laura.
Oh, no.
He picked me up in his car and drove me around for a half hour. They've got a plan for a holdup of Lawson's jewelry store. They've assigned me to get the layout.
Oh, darling.
I'm sorry, baby. I never should have gotten you into this.
What did you say, Jerry? What did you tell them?
What could I say? I told them I'd do it, Laura.
Jerry.
Oh, that's what I told them, but I'm not going to. I think I've got a way out.
What?
I've been going over and over it these last few days. I didn't want to tell you until I was sure.
But they'll never let you go, Jerry. There's only one way.
I can't go to the police, Laura. Please don't ask
Darling.
Me.
Darling.
Please.
All right, Jerry.
If I went to the police, everybody would know I'd arranged a crooked card party. I couldn't stand
it. All right, darling. I won't ask.
Baby?
Yes.
I think this is the way out. This piece of paper.
What is it?
It's a statement, Laura. A complete statement of every detail of the holdup with all the names. Nick, Shorty, Dixie Davis. I've even written down everything I know about them. Things I learned about other jobs that they pulled. I also wrote down what I did, Laura.
Why?
I made two copies of this. One I'm going to show to Nick when I see him. I want you to take the other one to Savannah tomorrow.
Savannah?
Yes. Do you remember Tom Riley, mother's lawyer?
Yes, of course.
Well, he has an office in Savannah. You take the sealed copy and ask him to keep it for you. Unopened. If I ever get into trouble, he's to open it.
Jerry... you don't think that Nick...
Yes, Laura, I do. But with this statement in Riley's office, I think Nick will let us alone. Will you take it to Savannah, darling?
Of course, Jerry, of course I will. But I'm not sure.
Baby. Baby, nothing's ever sure. But when you're in a spot, you've got to take a chance, don't you?
The next morning, I took the train to Savannah. Jerry had given me the address of your office here in the building. And as I entered the front door and stood looking at the directory, I felt an arm lock with mine.
At the party you're looking for, Mrs. Brumley, on the fifth floor?
Take your hands off of me.
Sorry, Mrs. Brumley. I got orders to find out what you're doing here in Savannah.
Look, I don't know who you are, but if you
The
don't...
name's Shorty, Mrs. Brumley. Nick Gordon wants to know what you're doing here. It looks to me like you might be going upstairs to pay a lawyer a little visit. Come on outside a minute, Mrs. Brumley. I want to talk to you.
Yes, who is it?
Telegraph, Mr. Bromley.
Okay. I'll take it.
Hello, kid. Sorry to use an old gag like that, but it saves time. Mind if I come in?
What are you doing here, Nick?
Just thought I'd drop over and see how you made out on that layout for the job next week. Laura in?
No, she isn't.
Good, good. I don't like women around when there's business. What do you got to drink, kid?
Nothing, Nick.
Huh?
I haven't anything to drink and no business to talk over with you.
No, that's funny. I had an idea you and I were working on a deal together.
You had a wrong idea.
You didn't get the layout.
No. And I never intended to get it.
Why not, kid?
I was stalling for time.
Oh, I see.
I wanted to figure out some way so that you and I were quits for good, Nick. I found the way.
Yeah?
Yes. That's why Laura isn't here.
Oh, she's in on this too?
Both of us. We're through with you and the rest of those two-bit hoodlums.
What makes you think so, kid?
An affidavit, Nick. A statement I wrote out telling every detail of the holdup and naming you as top man. I made two copies. One of them's right here in the drawer so you can see it. Laura took the other copy to Savannah. It's in the hands of my lawyer right now.
So that's why she went to Savannah.
What?
To see a lawyer. You know, Shorty thought she was going there to make a deal with the cops.
Shorty?
Sure. He followed her all the way up there, phoned me about an hour ago. They're on their way back now.
Oh, no.
So that was your bright idea.
Followed her.
Yeah. We've been covering the two of you for weeks.
Laura, too?
Sure. Just to be on the safe side.
We didn't have a chance, did we?
You never should have tried a stunt like that, Jerry.
I guess you're right.
I was counting on making something of you. A couple of years, you would have been pulling in nice dough. Now you've loused it up.
So I see. I guess I should have listened to Laura in the first place. She wanted me to go to the police.
I could have put you right on top, kid.
Nick.
Yeah?
Get up.
Huh?
You and I are going to the police. Now.
Another bright idea, kid?
Yeah. Only this one's going to work.
What makes you think so?
A war souvenir I got right here in the drawer, Nick. Don't move, it's loaded.
Put the gun down, kid. It's liable to go off and hurt someone.
Get up, Nick.
Okay, kid, I'm getting up. Tell you what. I'll go back to my hotel. We'll talk this over when you feel better.
We're going to the police.
Supposing I see you tomorrow, huh?
Nick, if you go out that door, I'll shoot.
No, you won't, kid. You haven't got the nerve.
I'm warning you.
You won't do it, Jerry. You're not the type.
Nick.
Your kind is soft. Takes guts to pull a trigger.
Don't touch that doorknob. I mean it.
I'll see you tomorrow, kid. We'll talk this whole thing over. Say hello to Laura for me.
This is Mr. Bromley. Room 1101. I just shot a man. Will you call Dr. Wilson immediately, and then will you please notify the police? I'm sorry, Nick. I told you I meant it. I'm sorry. The game's over. For all of us.
In the animal world, there is the hunter and the hunted. hound and fox, hawk and sparrow, chicken and worm. But who is to judge precisely which is the pursuer or the pursued as we enter the chase? The Chase was created and written for the National Broadcasting Company by Lawrence Cleve. Heard in the cast were Patsy Campbell, Ed Jerome, John Thomas, Roger DeCoven, and David Kerman. The Chase is directed and transcribed by Fred Way. Fred Collins speaking. Next week, join us for a hunt for a monster, a strange, gigantic sea beast who becomes an American professor's nemesis on The Chase.
Greater happiness for more people. That's the result of many decades of proving that the American economic system is the best system in the world. Under this system, we've been able to outproduce any other nation, to turn out more goods and services per man hour, and to enjoy a steadily rising cost of living. Here are a few facts. Since 1910, we have increased our annual family income from less than $2,000 to more than $4,000. Yes, our superior production has gone hand in hand with the preservation of our basic rights and freedoms. Here in America, each of us is free to work in the place and calling of our own choice. No man can tell us what job we must do. We are free to bargain collectively. We are free to contract about our own affairs to our own property, to start an enterprise, and to profit from our own inventiveness. This is progress, the progress of a free people, under a system which ensures the perpetuation of freedom. Tonight, listen to the history of 3 years of Korea on NBC.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. You can find this show and more old-time radio at relicradio.com. You'll also find everything else Relic Radio. Links to our Facebook page, forum, shoutcast stream, Twitter, all that stuff. It's all at relicradio.com, including our support button. If you'd like to help support this and all the shows, I appreciate it if you're able to help out. Thank you, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. I'll be back next week with episodes from Rocky Fortune and The Key in a brand new episode of the Relic Radio Show.